Adrian Wright, Charleston, West Virginia. We own the west side of Charleston on Delaware and Virginia. Them two brothers and a grill.
Tell me the story of how this place came to be.
Well, basically, I came home for a wedding. My best friend come home for his wedding. And I got with my mother, and I seen she was having problems. So she had dementia. So had me a grill and a hot dog cart, put it on this corner over here. And the rest is history. It just took off from there. Stayed out there for 2 years, cooking in the snow, rain, didn't make no difference. I was out there. And, you know, a lot of people kept asking, man, you don't cook it in winter? And I said, yeah. I said, you eat ribs in the winter? So we took that, and we ran from there. I got the building across the street and a food truck, basically. And it took off from there when a Food Network came down and interviewed me. It was Southern Fried Road Chicken? And it was Paula Dean's two sons, Jimmy and Bobby Dean. So it took off from there. And we outgrew the building we had across the street. And this was a restaurant. And we moved over here. So been over here about 5 years now.
Let me rewind to, you say you came back here. Talk about where you're from originally, where you grew up, what your childhood was like.
Okay. Well, I grew up right here in Charleston, West Virginia. Lived up in Works Avenue that they call the Holla, and went to school. I'm the last of seven boys, one girl. I'm the baby boy of them all, and played a little football in high school 1 year, played basketball, didn't go to college, and a gentleman came and seen me. He was director at the community center. He seen me. He said, man, why you ain't playing football? I told him my story, and basically he got me a full ride. The coach came up to my job. I was driving a fork truck for Sony Warehouse. Came and gave me a scholarship, and never seen me play a down and gone ball. Ended up winning player of the year at Virginia Union. Went in the draft, didn't get drafted. Then I signed with New York Giants, and then I caught on with the Bucks. I was with the Bucks for 3 years. Stayed down there for 26, lived in Tampa, moved back. When I came home to see my mother, I never went back. I called my kids and told them that I ain't coming back. I'm going to stay here. So that's when I had brought a grill to my mother's house for her 70th birthday, and I started cooking on that grill right out here on the corner. So that's how it went.
So you had a professional football career, and then you were living down in Florida. You came back here because a friend was getting married?
Yeah. My best friend, David Brown, was getting married, and I was the best man in the wedding. And like I said, my uncle asked me to stay and cook for the family reunion, so I stayed and never went back. Just stayed here for a year before I went back to Tampa. And then I finally got my clothes, went back, got all my stuff, and it just took off. I enjoyed it. You know, I lived in Florida, traveled. Did a little bit of everything, but, you know, my mother was sick, came home. Matter of fact, she's still living. She's 90 years old, just turned 90 in August. And she lived with me, and I take care of her, so.
Tell me the story of, how you learned to do barbecue. What's your culinary background?
None. I learned from my father and my mother. I used to help them cook all the time. My father used to grill, barbecue, and do everything. So as a kid, I loved to cook, and I'd be in the kitchen with my mother, even though I played basketball, football out, but, you know, I love cooking and never did go to culinary school or nothing, but helped me pay my way through college. You know, when you're in college, you need a little extra money. So I used to sell barbecue to the football players and everybody on Sundays, you know, so it just was something I love to do. This ain't work to me. This is fun. It ain't work. I can do it all day. Yeah.
Tell me about, let's get down to business and talk barbecue style, barbecue recipe, barbecue ingredients, in as much as you're, of course, willing to share.
Yeah, basically, I don't know what style it is. You know, people got North Carolina, they got Memphis, they got Kansas City. I just call it Bay style. You know, Bay is my nickname. And the way I cook, I want it to be just like my mother or anybody cook. I want it all to be good. So I take my time at it. I put pride in it. So, you know, it's just my recipe ain't nothing hard. The only thing we smoke around here is brisket. Everything else I cook straight over the heat with wood and a little coal. My brisket is about a 12-hour smoke on a slow day, you know. So then, you know, we grill our ribs, we grill our chicken, I grill the pork butts. But, you know, I go through so much meat, so smoking ain't the best thing for me. But, you know, my father never did smoke, so I don't do smoking. You know, it's just I took my own style and turned it in, you know, even from making the collard greens, mac and cheese, you know, we got sweet potato casserole. All that stuff is just putting your love in it, you know. Every time somebody come and want to get hard, they want to change my recipes. But if it ain't broke, why we changing them, you know, so.
Talk to me about what it was like to kind of re-embrace your hometown. I mean, I know you're really plugged in around here and really care about the well-being of the people around you. Just talk about your relationship with this place.
Charleston, West Virginia is very slow, so I had to knock it down a notch from being in Florida. But the community took and embraced me because I came in the community and I reached out to help young kids, give them, you know, bikes for Christmas, toys, you know, feed families for Thanksgiving. You know, we had that big flood in 2014. I went to Clinton and fed thousands of people, you know, and they asked me, why am I here? You're not from up here. I said, but I'm a West Virginian. It could have been me, you know, because Clinton was mainly, it was a white, a lot of white people lived up there, and it was a different thing. I was the only black guy out there giving away food, and they wanted to know why. I mean, West Virginia is a friendly town. Everybody speaks. You know, we don't have a lot of racial things going on, but it's just, hey, if you're West Virginian, you with me, and I'm with you. So my growth and coming back here, you know, you can see it, the blessing of, you know, I got two food trucks, a food trailer, never been loaned a dime, didn't have a whole lot of football money, just off of my staying with it and hustling, you know, make it happen.
You've obviously given a lot to, you know, the neighborhood, the city, West Virginia. Talk about what it's given you to be back here. Talk about how it's changed you as a person to be able to come back home and reconnect in this way.
Well, basically, you know, like I say, the main thing was taking care of my mother. I didn't know how far this thing was gonna go, but the embracement of the community, the town, it make me feel good when people know who I am. You know, like I tell them, football didn't do nothing for me. I made football. I didn't have no whole lot of money because I played with the pros, but the love and the caring of friendly things of West Virginia. I was told that this barbecue place wouldn't work over here on the west side because, you know, it's basically a trouble area. But the same people who told me it wouldn't work come every day, you know, and that make me feel good. You know, I won plenty of awards. We just got an award last night, a game changer from Main Street, Charleston Main Street. So that was a surprise, you know, and the respect of other restaurants owners, you know, that I get, you know, even though we sell barbecue, everybody got something different. And my thing is just to do it the best you can do it. You know, the best thing that happened to me was my two kids moved up here from Florida, Ashley and Braxton, to help me with this business. And it's been a blessing all the way around. So I got my two kids. I got a new wife, Bernadette. I got my mother, you know, and I got, three of my brothers and two sisters here. So, you know, and a whole bunch of cousins, uncles, and it's been good. You know, like I told him, I can travel anywhere. I've been a little bit of everywhere. So if I want to leave West Virginia and go somewhere, I travel. You know, come on back. That's what you do wherever you live. You go out, you live somewhere, and you do it, and you go somewhere else and have a good time, come on back and start over. So to recharge your energy.
I wonder if you might be willing to say a few words about your dad, about your chapter of this story. And if you wouldn't mind sitting, just so I can, there's a little hum behind me, but if you sit over here next to your dad, we could do like this. Perfect. And Emily, if you want to join me and have question, if you have thoughts, questions you want to add too, we can. Your dad just set you up with a great segue, talking you up. Let me ask you to introduce yourself. Tell me your name and tell me your relationship to this guy.
Okay, my name's Ashley Wright. I am Adrian Wright's daughter.
Tell me how you ended up in the fold of this enterprise.
This is probably the third restaurant that I've seen my dad build. So he's always been into barbecue. Barbecue was kind of like a side hustle for him. And I called him 2 years ago, and I was just over my corporate job. I didn't want to do it anymore. I was like, Dad, I don't want to do that anymore. So he was like, try out West Virginia. Ever since I was a kid, West Virginia has never been an ideal place to be. So I thought about it. I moved up for his, he actually had a wedding. And I came up and I was just like, well, I'll move up since your wedding's coming up. I'll move up when you are getting married. And then I guess the rest is history. I moved up for the wedding. I started kind of like waitressing, working in the restaurant. And I just saw things. I have a customer service background, saw some things that could be upgraded and changed. And that's kind of where I came into play with the restaurant and just decided to kind of like help with the family business. When I was younger, I remember telling him that I did not want to work in barbecue. I don't want to smell like smoke. So that is one thing that he never really lets me live down, but that was just it. I've seen him do this a couple of times, and it's just amazing to watch how his hometown basically embraced him.
You guys represent two different generations. I wonder if you mentioned sort of having mixed feelings about calling West Virginia home and deciding to come here. Talk to me about, were you born here as well?
No, in Tampa, Florida.
So you were born in Florida. Talk about what West Virginia was in your imagination and your understanding as a kid who wasn't from here, where your dad was from, and what it was like then when you actually came back here.
As a child, it was just boring. I knew I had to come see family. It was like obligatory almost. It's just like you come see your family. It was very gray here. I'm from the Sunshine State, so I wasn't excited about the cold. I wasn't excited about the mountains. But moving here as an adult has kind of given me a different perspective. I've gotten into nature a bit more. I'm no longer a beach bum, so now I like the mountains and stuff like that. I like the scenic things that there are to do around West Virginia. Kind of has slowed me down a bit to give me a little bit of perspective on life and like just slowed me down to make me think about like where I want to be next or if this will be home forever and things like that. So I've enjoyed it.
Let me ask you guys both to like a lot of people are going to be listening to this who aren't from, who don't know Charleston. Talk about sort of what the West Side is, sort of like, sort of just the dynamics of the city and sort of this neighborhood, what makes this neighborhood unique? What makes this neighborhood special? I know that this neighborhood has challenges too, and it's had a lot of sort of uphill battles thrown against it as well.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of drugs and everything out here, but like with my business, I don't let people hang out in front of my business. A lot of people know me. They know I'm no nonsense to that. So, you know, you still got to be aware of your surroundings, what's going on, because there's a little bit of everybody out there that's strung out on drugs and just hanging around trying to look for something that they can steal from you or whatever else. So it's about being, you know, who you are, you know. If you don't want to know the truth, don't ask me, because I'm gonna tell you the truth. And if you do something wrong to me, then you got to deal with me. You know, it's not no threat. No, it's just the way I am. I mean, I'm friendly. I feed anybody. If you're hungry, if you need some help, I'm gonna try to help you. But don't, you know, try to take advantage of me. And you know, I didn't grow up on the West Side. I grew up on the East End. But my father lived over here on the West Side, and I had a bunch of cousins live over on the West Side. So, and I mean, Charleston ain't that big, you know. 15 minutes you can be on one side, and it's not traffic, what they call traffic. So, you know, it's just been good, man. I mean, you know, to build this thing and see it grow. You know, we going in our 10th year now, and like I say, my brother work here, my son, my daughter, my wife, my uncle, couple cousins, so, you know, then a few other people was mixed in, you know, so I don't know. Our best thing is keeping everything right here and then traveling and do the, we do a lot of traveling during the summer from April to October. We busy every weekend doing festivals somewhere else while the restaurant is running. So, you know, it's just been good.
Let me ask you, what do you think is the most important lesson about life that you've learned from your dad, watching your dad's experience, his path?
Am I allowed to curse?
Yeah.
Okay. One of his favorite sayings is, life's a bitch and you die. So, basically, like, my takeaway from that is just, like, get everything that you can out of life. Don't lay down. Don't sit down. Don't just allow life to steamroll you and the things that happen to you throughout your life, like trials, tribulations. There's so many things that I can say that I've seen him go through, and just my perspective on him as a man, him as a father, like, they've changed as I've grown up. And it's just like, I think that as human beings, we don't necessarily see our parents as human beings. They're our parents. So it's just like, I tell a lot of people, I was just like, the perspective that I have of my father is that I've seen the maturation of a man. Like, we've been through a lot together. So it's just like looking at where he's come from, where he's been, and the experiences and things that he's, like, gone through, and, like, to see where he is now, and, like, how he's just never given up and been tenacious as far as, like, business, life. Like, it's just an amazing thing to watch, and it's just different, definitely a different perspective on basically how I view him as, like, my dad. And I tell people, I was just like, who I see him as my dad, and who I see him as a business owner is two different people. Like, I've seen so many different things that he's basically gone through. So it's just, it's an amazing thing to watch. And that's the biggest thing that I've learned from his, is to, like, just persevere, keep pushing.
I'm gonna give you guys a chance to take my job for a minute. Do you have a question for your dad that you've always been curious about?
We have a pretty open relationship. So anything that, I don't know, anything that I've ever thought or wondered, he's not a sugarcoater. So he's always been open and been like, if you got a question, ask me. And that's always been our relationship. So I do not have a question for him.
How about you? Do you have any question you want to ask your daughter?
Not really. It's a day-to-day basis. You know, we are around each other 16, 17 hours a day, you know, and that's hard on a parent and children reference. So it's to understand me, she sees it, and, you know, we communicate so well about life, about business. I mean, you know, I'm not the boss. I'm your dad. I'm gonna say something. You can rebuttal it, and we can talk about it. So then we can weigh it on the table and decide which way I'm gonna go. Yeah, I put my foot down on it sometimes because my way of thinking, get up early, get it done, and move on to the next. Prepare for what's coming at you, because it's gonna come at you. You know, it's like lunchtime come and it rolls so fast, you got to be ready for it, you know. So with her, it's just, it's great. You know, I mean, I don't have no complaints.
I imagine having a family business can be a blessing and a curse, right? Yeah. You know, I mean, 16, 17 hours a day with your family in a workplace environment. That's, you guys have any advice for people who are thinking about going into business with as a family?
I think my biggest advice is to, you have to separate the two. Like, I love my dad dearly, and I know he loves me, but it's just like, it's a time for business and it's a time for family. And it's just like, when you are in a family business, it's just like, you have to, everybody has to be on the boat rowing. Everybody has to be in it. And it's honestly, it's no time for like emotions on your sleeve, because at the end of the day, this is how we're all eating. This is how we are all making our money. So it's just like, if you have one weak link and you just have to kind of like figure out who the weakest link is, either help that person or let them know that, like, no hard feelings, I still love you, but it's not going to work in the family business. Like, it's not going to work for us. So that's kind of the biggest thing that I can advise people to do in family business, is just like, make sure that you know everybody's strengths, weaknesses, and just try to continue to hold each other down and build each other up.
Anything you want to add to that?
Well, you know, like I said, I'm no nonsense. I'm probably far about 15 of my cousins, you know, family members, because it didn't work, you know. I am who I am. I can't change it, you know what I mean? So I'm going to tell you the truth, and you need to be able to deal with it or move on. So family, like I say, family is rough. It really is, you know. They always think they own everything you own. You owe them something. So I tell them, I don't owe you nothing. Get out. Bye. Doesn't make me no difference. You know what I mean? So
I'm gonna turn the mic over to Emily. You've been listening. Thoughts, questions, directions? You want to take the conversation?
Sure. So you come in here. It's always packed, it seems like. I've met some great characters back there in the bar. Sometimes the bartender tips off your daiquiri. Who are your customers? Who are the regulars? What's the community around the restaurant?
Well, we got probably 85% of our business is from West Virginia, but we get a lot of people from out of town. We just, like yesterday, there was some people from Sweden. And I said, well, how you found out about us? He said, a friend of mine in Sweden found y'all and told me we need to come to this restaurant. But they was down here working from down at the stamping plant. So we get a little bit of everybody from, you know, across the board. They stop in this main point. They stop, check in, and get something to eat and get back on the road halfway. The characters in the bar, it's a little bit of everybody. We all get along. You know, we laughing and joking, and they come every day, so it's still a family atmosphere. I don't know. You get one or two that step out of line, and I gotta tell them, get out. Come on back tomorrow, though. I mean, you know. So I don't know. I keep it real.
I think, honestly, our customers are basically our local neighborhood people. Like, we've made a lot of friendships. Like, we have, during, like, when the legislature is in, we do a lot of catering at the legislature. A lot of local business owners. We have lawyers, politicians, different people that basically, like, come in and they feel comfortable enough to sit here for 2 hours and have their business and, you know, talk to each other, have meetings. And it's, our customer base is, I think, very vast, but it's just like we've kind of built like a tight-knit group of people that like care for us. They love the food and they come and see. Like, I have one customer, David Sad. He comes in like probably like 3 or 4 times a week, and he's like one of my favorites. I have 3 Davids, and I call them the Daves. So they all have like their own little quirk about what they like about the restaurant and what basically continues to bring them back. I have one Dave that has like a Dave special. So every time he comes in, we know what he's going to order and stuff like that. our customers range from like a lot of different walks of life, and I think they kind of just know what we're doing here and enjoy the food, and that's just kind of what brings them back.
The Dave special.
The Dave special is, he's gone on a diet now, so it's changed a little bit. But the Dave special is a pulled pork sandwich, hot barbecue sauce with slaw, and then a hot dog on the side, all the way, no onions. And an iced tea, of course.
While I've got you here, let me have you just sort of run down the menu. I mean, people come in for the first time, they're sitting at a table, they say, you know, what's good here? What do you got? I mean, what do you need to let people know about what's for lunch?
I tell everybody everything, but I do have my favorites. My favorite meat that we smoke is the brisket. Ribs are close second. And then my top three sides are our mac and cheese. We actually got on a list for best mac and cheese in the nation, so we were like on the top 50 list. The collard greens and then the sweet potato casserole is like dessert. It's to die for. So good.